Welcome back. You're listening to the Real Life Pharmacology Podcast with pharmacist Eric Christensen. Thanks so much for listening today. Today I'm going to cover methotrexate pharmacology. So methotrexate is a generic name. A couple of common brand names I've heard, Rumatrex or Trexol. But again, most often I think clinicians will call it methotrexate, or occasionally I'll see or hear the abbreviation MTX. I always discourage using abbreviations because it certainly could be interpreted as potentially something else if somebody doesn't know. So just a little side note there anyway. So methotrexate is kind of a unique drug in that it can be used for oncology, cancer-type purposes, which I'm not going to talk about a ton today on the podcast. I'm going to try to give you the basics anyway. More commonly, I would say what I see it used in is rheumatoid arthritis as well as psoriasis occasionally. But by far, I would say rheumatoid arthritis is where I see this medication used more often. Now, its classification, methotrexate is considered a disease-modifying anti-rheumatic drug. That's kind of its classification. Again, also could be classified as an oncology anti-cancer type agent as well. Now, the mechanism in psoriasis as well as rheumatoid arthritis is not quite as well understood as it is in oncology. In the oncology setting, it blocks the activity of dihydrofolate reductase, which ultimately leads to preventing the formation of what are called purines, which are part of DNA, and ultimately slowing down appropriate DNA production and inhibiting kind of that cell growth and proliferation, which can happen in cancer. So that's kind of how it works in the cancer setting. The anti-inflammatory, anti-rheumatic side of things, again, not quite as well understood, but definitely thought to suppress the immune system in some way, shape, or form there. So let's talk about warnings a little bit, because there are some significant boxed warnings with this medication. So if you go look at package insert or something like that, you're probably going to see a ton of boxed warnings. And the majority of these warnings really go along with the use in oncology and those really, really high doses. So I'm not going to focus on those a ton, but if it is being used for cancer purposes, you can certainly recall that there is a bunch of warnings like GI toxicity, skin reactions, liver function, obviously immune reduction in immune function as well. So a few different things there to think about. But again, that's typically much more associated with the dosing in oncology. Now, dosing in rheumatoid arthritis or psoriasis, probably the target dose or the dosing range that I see used most often is patients get titrated up, maybe into that 15 to 30, possibly up to 30 milligram range. Again, may kind of vary depending upon the patient and the response and the clinician and what they're comfortable with. But yeah, that 15 to 30 milligram range, maybe 25 milligram range is probably where I see most patients dosed at there. And now remember, that's dosed once weekly. So that's kind of a unique dosing structure with that medication, where, you know, most meds we think of being dosed once daily. But, you know, rarely we do have these drugs that are dosed once weekly. So methotrexate's one that comes to mind. Some of the bisphosphonates too, alendronate and things like that for osteoporosis, are also dosed once weekly. So kind of a unique thing there to remember with methotrexate use for rheumatoid arthritis and or psoriasis. Now, specifically talking about rheumatoid arthritis, you've got to remember that this is a disease-modifying drug. I think remembering the classification can help you remember that this drug is going to take a while to actually work and provide benefit. So if somebody comes in with an acute rheumatoid arthritis flare in severe pain, swelling, redness of the joints, and severe pain, you've got to remember that giving this patient methotrexate is not going to help them in the short term. You know, within hours or a few days, it's not going to help. Likely, it's not going to help. So with a rheumatoid arthritis flare, typically what we're going to do is give an agent like an NSAID or maybe a corticosteroid like prednisone to help treat and manage that acute inflammation and pain while the DMARD takes effect. So very important patient education point to remind patients that this drug is going to take a while, weeks potentially, to begin working and reducing some of those symptoms, some of those flares that may be occurring with rheumatoid arthritis. When I'm looking at a patient's medication list and I see methotrexate, I always look for folic acid. Okay, that always needs to be supplemented with the use of methotrexate. And, you know, primary reason being that it can help reduce some of the adverse effects from, or the risk at least, for some of the adverse effects from methotrexate. Patients are more at risk for problems, concerns, adverse effects if they are folate deficient. So that's why we typically give a standard dose of 1 milligram of folic acid with any patient that's on chronic methotrexate. A couple of things to kind of monitor, look out for with methotrexate. Liver toxicity, so that's something, and I'll mention this kind of in drug interactions as well coming up here. And suppressing the immune system is something we also have to consider, be concerned about. You may also see some kidney function monitoring there. There is potential with changes in kidney function that concentrations of this drug could go up a little bit there. So yeah, between a CBC and, you know, tracking white blood cell counts, liver is a potential monitoring parameter, and, you know, potentially kidney function. But I would say liver and the immune system functioning is probably a little bit higher on the priority list there. Well, I hope you guys are all enjoying the podcast. Just a reminder, we got great books, resources, test prep material at meded101.com/store. So that's meded101.com/store, STORE. Let's wrap up here with drug interactions. When I think of methotrexate, there aren't a ton of kind of hallmark drug interactions that I generally think of. I think of more so of cumulative type effects or drugs that cause similar adverse reactions or toxicity to methotrexate. So first thing I think about is liver. So if you've got a patient at risk for liver dysfunction, maybe on other meds that cause liver problems, you know, so I'm thinking of a chronic alcoholic type patient. They may be predisposed to some liver issues if we add methotrexate on top of that. So at a minimum, we would certainly monitor that much more closely in a patient at risk for liver problems. Another thing I think about is immunosuppressives. So methotrexate, it's got the possibility of suppressing the immune system in a patient who's already receiving other immunosuppressive agents, maybe a transplant patient, for example. There are situations where patients will be on two different DMARDs. You may see that from time to time. And when we use drugs like that in combination, you know, we've got the risk of kind of doubling up on suppressing the immune system. So again, you know, in a transplant patient, they're probably going to be monitored very, very closely for their immune system function and dosing of their immunosuppressive agents. So it's probably going to be monitored close already. But it is important to think about that, you know, adding on a drug like methotrexate can potentially dip that immune system further. One other kind of unique thing that comes up with methotrexate is the administration of vaccines. There is some potential evidence that vaccine responses may be altered a little bit by the use of methotrexate. If methotrexate is on board when those vaccines are given. So that's an important thing to look up, and there is some differences between different types of vaccines. I'm not going to go into that into great detail here, obviously, but I would encourage you to look that up. I've had that question come up for various vaccines because the response can be suppressed. In the event of, you know, being able to give a vaccine first before we're actually starting methotrexate, usually that's the best way to do it. But sometimes patients are already on chronic methotrexate and they're due for a specific vaccine. So again, I would encourage you probably to look that up based upon the specific vaccine and what's indicated for that patient at that time. But do remember that there is potential that response that you hope for that vaccine may be altered and blunted a little bit by having methotrexate on board. I'm going to wrap this up for today. Hope you enjoyed the podcast. Hope you picked up a pearl or two. Leave us a rating review on iTunes or Spotify or wherever you're listening. Greatly, greatly appreciate it. Also, I've got that free 31-page top 200 PDF study guide. So it's definitely a no-brainer as far as going to reallifepharmacology.com, snagging that. And of course, if you're willing, you're able, you can take advantage of the resources at meded101.com/store as well. So we'll sign off for today. Thank you so much again for being here, taking time out of your busy day, and I hope you have a great rest of your day.